They said, some of you might ask of the horse. I said, nobody that's not here will want it. And he said, well, someone out there might want to review it. And I said, there'll be some review. Okay. I really feel bad. I just can't do it. Okay. Not a son, John 1:12, as many as he didn't give power to become the sons of God. Okay? Not saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The result is saved. What do I need to do? Confess what? Jesus is Lord. I put him in charge. I confess he is now under authority. I confess him as Lord, and I believe that God raised him from the dead. So I'm confessing him as Lord, and I believe that he was raised, and I'm saved. That is following the scriptures. I hear God's promise to my condition. Now that's how I become a Christian. Now after I become a Christian, God says, as I've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Colossians 2, 6 and 7, 8. As I receive, so walk. I receive him by faith, I'm going to walk by faith. So I receive him by faith, I walk by faith. I sin. I look to the Bible, 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse from all unrighteousness. My response is to confess. I say the same thing about my sin that God does, and as a result, I'm forgiven and cleansed. Okay, that's the way the Christian life should work. So in my life now, I see a problem. I have no peace. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt give him a perfect peace and find his state on thee because he trusteth in thee. Isaiah 26:3. So what do? I say, my sin, no peace, no peace, no peace. So what do? I look at Isaiah 26:3. I want perfect peace. What do to get perfect peace? I trust in him and keep my mind on him. The verse says I have perfect peace. If a person isn't having perfect peace, he's not trusting in him, having his mind on him, because God said, if you keep your mind on him and trust in him, you'll have perfect peace. Now, when you stand before the throne of grace, you can tell God, God, I did it, and it didn't work, and you can talk to him about it. That's what he said. I was in New Haven, and I had a little guy who was up there, and he was coal black, and he was standing there saying, I'm standing on the Word of God. And someone said, well, it won't work. And he says, I'm standing on the Word of God. He was standing on the Word of God. He was standing on a promise. Someone said, I want guidance. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Believe on your understanding. All the ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You're not getting your path directed. You're not trusting with all your heart. Lean on your understanding. And all the ways acknowledge him. See? That's what it says. Now you go whimsy, whimsy, dimsy. But that's the way it is. So now, as I accept Christ by faith, now I can walk by faith. Now we try to get people to walk by faith without knowing they've accepted Christ by faith. We want to now help a person to see how he's become a Christian by faith in the Word of God. Then he can then say, as he's received Christ Jesus the Lord by faith, he can walk by faith. Okay? Now, this is just an introduction, see? This is just an introduction to see how am I going to get changed into Christ's image. I see these three guys sitting here and they're talking, this Catholic, this Hindu, this Mormon, and this Buddhist, and they're talking to each other. And when they're talking, they're seeing their own thing. And they can't help it. Because that's what they've been told is truth. Do they have promises? Sure they have promises. What is the difference? They have promises, and the Bible has promises. What is the difference? There it says theirs is true. But what is the big difference?
The promise keeper.
Promise giver.
God. The promise giver. The promise giver. Well, what about the promise giver?
He is alive. He
wants faithful. Okay, what does that mean, he's alive?
He's in heaven. He's also in our heart.
Okay, but what is it? I'm not telling that guy, and here I am, I'm talking and he's talking. What's the difference now between this one and that one?
One's real and the other is...
What's that mean?
The Jesus is resurrected from the dead.
Okay, what does that mean to me that he's resurrected from the dead?
Personal experience.
What does it mean by personal experience?
Testimony.
Of what?
How God changed my life.
What's that mean? That's right. Now, what did God do to change your life? What did God do to change your life?
Through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right, through the power of the Holy Spirit. But what? I mean, these kids ain't got their promises. These have these promises. Why does God's word work in his destiny?
Results. about mixing with faith.
It mixed with faith. How? What was my faith then?
Promise.
What promise?
The promise giver.
The promise giver. And why can I trust the promise giver?
He's bad in a thousand.
Why do we trust the promise giver?
Yeah, well, why can I trust the promise giver? Okay, let me give you this. I have two cars and I have two keys, two Cadillacs. I know you. I've studied you. We've known each other for years.
I don't need you from a bar soap.
Wait until you ask me for a key. I give you each a key. Which one is
that?
Psalms 9:10 says, they that do know their God will put their trust in him. Is that faith? Which one am I trusting? By faith.
No.
What's the verse say? They that do know their God will put their trust in him. The one I know, that's faith. Proverbs 31 says, who can find a virtuous woman who finds a fire by her roof, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her? You know that one? Well, if you got it memorized, you're okay. I'll go a little slower. Proverbs 31 says, who can find a virtuous woman for a price as far above rubies? The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he will have no use for her. Why does he trust in her? What does he know about her?
She's trustworthy.
Inside and out.
What's the verse that he knows? What does the verse say she knows? Who can find a virtuous woman? She's a virtuous woman. Can you trust a virtuous woman? Yes, so he can trust his wife. And so he can have faith in her. A guy has a wife that spends everything she has and does everything good. How can he trust her? That's a foolish. That's it. It's ignorance.
You don't give her a credit
card. See? This verse says, who can find a virtuous woman? And he says, he will trust her and he doesn't have anything to spoil. Because he can trust her because he has faith in her because he knows her. Now that's faith. Okay, let's go a little further. 1 John 1:9, you know that? We confess our sins, he is faithful. So I sin. When do I have faith, according to that verse?
When you confess our sin.
Not when I confess my sin. Okay, when I confess my sin. Right, very, very good. That's when I have faith. I have knowledge with faith when I do it.
Hebrews 4:2.
For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They both knew it. But one didn't do it. And it wasn't mixed with faith, they didn't act on it, so it wasn't there. Now when you hear something today, and you don't act on it, don't walk out of here looking in a mirror and thinking you're something you're not. Because the Bible says, you know by faith when you act on it. You follow that? Now, I cannot expect someone to act on something that he doesn't know. I did that with a lot of people in Christianity, and that is bad. I want people to know with whom they're putting their trust. They that do know their God will put their trust. In Daniel, who is going to do exploits? They that do know their God are going to do exploits. Those are the ones, because they know him and they can trust in him. Jumping off the building and then hoping could be bad. Okay? Now that's the introduction on that one. Do you have a question on this? Do you have an idea of what's happening? See, in my life, I have any kind of condition in my life, and I can find it, whatever condition I get. See?
What was your response on the second line, please?
What's that?
What's in the link on the second line for my response?
Am I not saved? My response for the second not saved is, I trust him as Lord, and I believe that he was raised from the dead. Because thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So I confess Christ as Lord, and I believe he was raised from the dead, and the Bible promises that I'll be saved. Now, let me give you a little bit on this. I worked with this guy, and this guy led his dad to Christ. His dad came in, and I was going to check him out. I said, well, what verse does he claim? Because if he doesn't have a verse, how can he claim it? Because if he can't claim a verse of salvation, how can he claim one for another one if he's going to walk the way he's the same? And so I asked him, I said, what verse did you claim to become a Christian? He said, I don't know. I said, well, what did you do? And he said, I took God as my leader. So I turned to Romans 10, 9, and 10, and I said, is this what you mean? And he said, that's it, that's it, that's what I did. Now he had a verse for what he did. Now he could stand on what he did.
And he was happy as peach. He's glad to see me every time. Oh, I got the verse, I got the verse, I got the verse.
And the enemy can't trade tricks on us now. He's got the verse. I asked a gal in a Bible study, doctor and wise men, I said, what verse do you have? She said, I don't have a verse. She said, I just threw myself upon the bed. She said, do you have a verse that says I become a Christian when I throw myself upon the bed? And I said, no. She said, well, I'll find one. Boy, everybody next week wanted to see if she found it. But I asked her, I said, well, why did you throw yourself upon the bed? She said, well, you people gave me these four spiritual laws. When I fell upon the bed, I prayed those. I said, oh.
Now we're getting a little closer up.
It didn't have much to do with throwing on the bed. It had to do with these four spiritual laws. She was doing right. She did it. But she didn't know it. See, there are four kinds of people. People, they don't know they don't know. Some people know they don't know. And some people know and don't know they know. And some people know and don't know.
Okay, you can figure out where you are. Well, that's kind of good news, isn't it?
I don't know.
Okay, now we're going to take a look. We're going to get the broad picture. My dear sister said to me where I left, she said, Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and then search the scriptures daily whether those things are so. She says, don't pick those people so when you leave them, they can't search out what you said, whether it's so or not.
That's a knife under the fifth rib. You maybe don't have faithful sisters like that. Now, this is an overview. Oh, I better not use that one. This one here. Now, this is going to be hard to see, and I'm going to talk to you about it. Well, what I'll do, well, better yet. I'm going to ask my paper here to think that I'm on a paper mill. Okay, get those hands out.
You need to turn that out and over, upside down.
Yeah, well, this is
that perfect?
We won't bother with that because you can't see it very well. We don't need to. I'll talk from here. I can talk from here, and you can see from here, right?
Perfect.
We need
one more.
Okay, we got enough of them, I think. Now, 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into His image. Now that's the overview of what we're trying to talk about. As I behold in a glass, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, what happens to me? I'm beholding the Lord. This verse says that we all, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into His image. So what happens to me?
Changed
into
His image.
Okay, as I behold Him, I become like Him. Oh, behold the man of sorrows. Oh, behold him in plain view.
That's kind of nice. Have you had a look at him? When do you see him? When you see him right, you'll be like him. When you see him right, you'll be like him. Now, the key is, as I look here, as I obey the Word of God, I see Christ's glory. You see the picture. I see my own weakness. I see my own slavery to sin. I see that Christ died to take away my slavery. And then I really see that clearly. I behold the Lord in all His glory. I see that in the Word of God, and I'm transformed. So what is happening up here in my mind? A little deal that this is happening. As
you think about that, what is happening in your mind as you think about that? You write something there. What do you think is happening? You think about that. You think about that. Okay, I'll do it again. Now this one is the same picture, but it's got some answers up there that you maybe didn't think about. And you don't have time to think about it now if you haven't thought about it before. So we're just going a little fast. So in this one, if I really think about it, I acknowledge my slavery to sin. I look at this. See, I do good things for people. In this last year, I did a good thing for a friend who probably upped him $100,000. And I just am going to watch him trash it. The $100,000 is going to burn. I don't think you judge that. In fact, it's going to be the heart. So I'm slave to sin because I'm slave to judgment. And I look at Luke 17:10, and he says, Harv, when you've done obedience, and you've done all that you should do, you're an unprofitable servant. You're unworthy. So it wasn't because you were good or anything, you could help this guy out. That was a privilege to help him out. What he does in his future, you just be thankful that you can help him. I said, well, Lord, I'll try to learn that. I'd like to learn that. So I'm working on it. Now, you can pick sin in your life. You're a slave to. We'll help you. I acknowledge my weakness. Remember Peter? Peter came to Jesus. Jesus talked to Peter. Peter said, you'll deny me. What did Peter say?
No.
No.
Not me.
Did he deny him? What was his problem? His problem wasn't that he was weak. His problem was he didn't know it.
He didn't know what?
He was weak.
He was in denial.
He was in denial that he didn't know he was weak. When he saw Jesus later, he went out and was up there, he knew he was weak. And that's my problem. My problem is righteousness. My problem is self-righteousness. My problem is I don't know that I'm weak. Ask God for forgiveness. When I ask God for forgiveness, what should I recognize? I recognize in Christ that day. If I could do that, I should recognize
what it costs. I repent at God's reproof. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I'll pour my spirit on you. I'll make known to my word. God reproves me. He wants me to turn. When God reproves, he'll turn hard. He says, I'll pour out my spirit on you. That's what he says. I'll make things right with others. While I'm working on my sin, I'm going to have just boodles of opportunity to have a problem here, a problem here, a problem there. I say something to my wife, not right. God says, keep short account, part of it, but right, keep it right. I thank God that Jesus died that I might live, right? And I might live righteously. Pay the price of that? He not only died to pay for my sin, he died that I might live righteously. That was the cost. So now I'm living. And I'm living as a Christian, and I've trusted in Jesus. I've named the name of Christ, and I've accepted his penalty for me. Now I'm living. And I have a choice that I make day by day to do the right thing or not. Now, he gives me the strength by the power of the Holy Spirit through the power of the resurrection for me to respond right if I want to. And he died so that I could respond right. And I may say no to that. No. You died for me, Jesus, and I accepted you as Savior, but I'm not going to accept the power that you give me to live righteously. I'm not going to do it. But I can if I want. I thank God that Jesus died to free me from the slavery of sin. I thank you for that. Or I can just... Okay? Now, as I do this, and then as I obey God's word, I then behold the glory of the Lord. Now, if you haven't really dealt with sin in your life, if you're not really working on this, you probably know what we're talking about. But if you really want to deal with sin, and you're going to really nail sin, then you're going to need to see the power of the resurrection, the power of Christ in your life. It's not going to happen willy-nilly. It's just not going to happen. Okay? As I obey God's word, I see the Lord's glory. As I see that, God's word in the mirror, I'm being transformed. Now, what I'm doing so far is just giving an overview of what we're going to try to cover. Now, when is this over?
Tomorrow at 3.
Yeah.
You can go as long as you want to.
No. Really, does someone have it there?
11:55.
11:55. Okay, we're on great shape. Okay. This is all warm up. Show you the value of this. A miracle of a transformed life can help others see the gospel. Now, on this one, my friend here is looking. He has his grid of isms, whatever it is, and that's his grid of truth, and then the gospel over there is trying to shine through that. And then, as my friend looks through, and he sees my light so shine, then the materialism, the hedonism, bitterism, this light is so bright that it shatters his lens or his window, and he sees Christ. I have a person I'm working with. This person's father-in-law said to this Christian, I want to know truth, and I want to see it with a capital Q.
person's an engineer. Very successful business.
He wants to see a camera. He wants to see a light. When I went to Germany, before I went, my dad looked at me and he watched something in us work with him. You see, his other lives changed. He said, why don't you go down in the corner and tell him?
Well, you see a businessman that was honest.
You would see a businessman that lived what we're talking about.
That didn't care about the dollar. Didn't care about the reputation as far as compromising so that other people would accept it. He was honest. He wouldn't compromise on truth. Right life, we can shatter that. We can shatter that. The life will. My life is right. That person looks through that and see Jesus. Now, what we're going to do. We're going to cover now a way, if you want to have it, you can have it. So we're going to do that. And, some more paper. Jesus was talking in John, and he was talking to the scribes and Pharisees, some people, and he said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know what they said to Jesus? They said, we have never been in bondage. We are Abraham's seed. And Jesus looked at them, and he said, whoever commits sin is in bondage. So pick one. At your table, pick a sin you don't like in your life and put it up there. I picked mine. I had judgment. I'm sorry about this overhead deal. But that's, see, I had the verse here. We could have.
Arm is going to go this way. It like you said.
Is that going to be okay? Is you getting any idea? Okay. So now I put down the sin, I acknowledge it. Okay? Now, the next thing I do is I acknowledge my weakness. This is Romans 7:18. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwells no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to form that which is good I find not. And then, have you ever felt like that?
For good I would do, I do not, and evil that I would not, that I do.
So I acknowledge that. See, I must admit that that's where I am. Now, if you're not willing to admit, if you're going to press through, if you want to try another program, if you want to try another set of disciplines, okay. Now, what we're looking at here is going to be something that you do, but it's not a discipline to do it. It's how to get in so that I look at Jesus, so that I'm changed. The program, that following a man doesn't do it because a man will fail. Never mind verses, you know, we'll give you that chance. Okay? Now after this, see, the next verse here, I confess and I ask God's forgiveness. So I confess my sin and I ask God's forgiveness for my sin. That's specific. I say the same thing about my sin that God does.
Now, real short, quick. He's going to write to the doctor that's going blind.
The guy's going blind. He can't see like that hard now. He's got cancer and he's got nothing to do. He might be dead now. Who's going to write? I knew he's going to go to James. He's going to ask me about James. So I looked for James. Is there any sick among you? And I said to him, as he was riding in the car, I said, you qualify. He said, let him call on the elders of the church. I said, you may do that. But I said, when you do that, look at the qualifications of an elder. Because you call someone who says an elder, you call them in it. So it says, call on the elders of the church. So if you want to get action, you call on them. Now the word let is there as a command. It's an imperative. It's not a choice. You're sick, you're commanded to call. It's an imperative. And then it says, and let them pray over him. And that's an imperative. The elder is commanded to pray. Anointing with oil in the name of the Lord, in the name of Christ. My daughter had someone put a mouth, hand over her mouth and a knife in her throat. She called on the name of Jesus, took the knife away and he ran. There's power in the name of Jesus. And I taught my children, whenever they got in trouble, call on the name of Jesus. It's okay to do that. Okay to know anything to do. Pray in the name of Jesus. Prayer of faith shall heal the sick. If he has committed sins, they shall be given him. Forgiven him. He says, if he's committed sins, now why will they be forgiven him? 1 John 1:9. He confesses it. So there's this guy going blind. If he's committed sins, they'll be confessed. He confesses. So now in this time, we're confessing now. Now we're in our prayer time to see healing, but he's confessing now. That's going on. So now there's a confession time. And they should be. Then it says, confess your faults one to another. So now what are the elders doing with one another?
Confessing to each other.
They're confessing their sins. Oh my. Get elders, they will confess. When they're in there, and the Holy Spirit's bringing something to their mind, if they're a good elder, they're not going to be proud and not confess. They'll confess. They've
been there before. They've been through that. They've qualifications on it. They've been there. They're humble. They'll confess. So now they're confessing. If they're confessing, instead of the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails me. Why are they righteous according to 1 John 9? They confess their sin, not to only be righteous, and confess. They fulfill it. And Jesus said, you're as light as passion like a light tree.
He prayed it wouldn't rain for that.
That's the body.
Right?
Good to look at what the word says.
Turn at God's reproof.
I'm driving 55 mile an hour in a 50 mile an hour speed limit zone. God says in Romans it's okay to obey the authorities. And I'm trying to walk in Jesus' image. I'm working on anger and I see the speed limit coming. I decide whether or not.
I may not be in that ballpark. If you're not, admit it. Don't ask.
to be in a ballpark that you're not willing to be in. It says, so as I'm walking, God reproves me. Turn. What does that promise to do? He'll make his words known to you. People have stacks of books on their shelves. Computer programs like you wouldn't believe. I can honestly tell you, I can't tell how to turn on a computer. Now, that's not good or bad, necessarily. But I haven't gone there as yet. I'm not able to do all I can do with what I do know. It's okay. And I have people do computer for me. But boy, and he'll make known his words to me. He makes known his words to me, not because I've got it in another translation, but I've got it in his reproof. So I turn in his reproof.
Hey, Harv, I have a question. You said don't play in the ballpark.
Don't try to play in a ballpark.
I didn't follow that.
No one said if your dad can't stand it, you don't get in the kitchen. Okay, is the idea is?
Don't play like you
want to
be righteous,
and
like you
want to
be right.
Let me give you a verse. Hebrews 12:4 It says, "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving in your sin." Initially, I had a problem with my eye, and I still do sometimes. But I was going to solve that thing. Because I believe God's word. And he said, "Your eye is in, you pluck it out." So I said, "Well, I'll take my right one first." So I got after it. And I went in there and I tried to get that out of that socket. But before I could get hold of it, I said, "I think I can control it." Now, I was going after it. Because that's what God said. But then I saw a verse. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think on the many? So I said, "Okay, I'll make a covenant with mine eyes." In other words, let your eyes look right on them. Your eyes look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Part of the course. So I got some verses on it, and then I applied these verses, like we're talking about today, to the situation with my eyes, my sin. Now I applied the verse to my sin, and I memorized the verse, and I said, "God, bring this verse to mind when this comes, so that I can deal with the sin." So that's why so I got serious about it, and then I said, "Don't not be serious about it." Now Lauren mentioned it a little bit last night, a couple times, if you heard me. If you bow down to God and prefer not to pay it, be at the place of school, to pay that which is bound, better thou shalt not bow than bow and not pay. Gave me the portal. It gave the idea. You know, it was really humble, but it was there. Did you remember it?
Yeah, I think it went. Okay. I don't know if that helps or not. Feel free to ask questions. I may not even be in the ballpark. But you guys, there are plenty of people around here that can solve it.
Bring it down, please.
Oh, look at that. Thank you. Okay. So the Lord said, you come to ask forgiveness, and you bring your gift to the altar, and you've got something against somebody, leave your gift to the altar, go make yourself right with your friend, and then come back and offer your gift. So while I'm walking here now, trying to take care of my anger, my crying, my judgment, and then God, by His Holy Spirit, brings to mind that I've offended you, God says, "Think about it. Don't be coming to my altar." So I say, "I'm wrong. Would you please forgive me? My attitude is wrong." Now, is that too hard to do?
Yes.
Okay.
Very hard sometimes.
Now, what helps is I see what happened to Jesus so that I could be it. I look to the cross and I say, "That's what you did. And I can do that."
I go back to him, and I say, Lord, this is hard.
Now, who said yes on that?
Let me help you.
Hey.
Jesus went into the garden to pray. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And he told John, this is how it works.
Okay? Light of blood.
Finally, he said, Lord, no, that's not my will. Okay? Now, you think that helped him later than most of the prophets?
Yes.
So, before I go to my brother, I can go to Jesus and tell him how hard it is. And I can talk to him about it. And I can talk to him about it. And I can pray about it. And I put some brothers to go to sleep on while I'm praying. Do what Jesus did. And then, I can get results. Like Jesus did. And I can go to my brother. Think so? Would it make a difference? You understand what we're saying there? You understand that?
Okay. You need to be yielded.
Pardon me?
You need to be yielded. You need to get your focus back on him.
Okay, we got that verse coming. Thank God that Jesus died so I can live righteously. We got that one on there? Be thankful. That's the bottom one. So this is the process now. In the process, now I'm thanking God that Jesus died so I can live righteously. Now, I don't know how much you've done that. But it was a high price that Jesus paid so I can live righteously. And I don't take that lightly. So I go to thank Jesus. And I've got this anger over here, and I'm kneeling down. I say, Lord, I get angry. I don't want to get angry. And I thank you that Jesus died. So I don't want to get angry. So I've never had a verse on anger. I want you to bring it to my mind before I get angry. When you do, I'm going to say no to sin and yes to you. I'm not going to be angry. I'm asking you to help me in the power of Jesus, the resurrection power, and I'll be angry. Help me. And I thank him for your guidance. So I wouldn't be angry. Is that possible to do that? You think he'll do it? He will.
This is the next shot, isn't it? This is
be thankful.
Pardon me?
Maybe we just play conscience.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's okay. We'll go through it. I thank God that Jesus died to save me from.
First, say, boy, I've got a problem with pride.
First Peter 5, 5 and 6. Anyone have that? Likewise, the younger.
God resisted the proud, give grace to the humble, humble themselves therefore, and remind him of God.
God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. I have a problem with pride. I want God to bring this verse to my mind. I memorize it. What does God ask me to do in this verse? Humble myself. As I humble myself, what does God say He'll do to me?
Give me grace.
You ever wish you had some grace?
You might have a bucket for grace.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm not going to do it. My question is to make yourself all you can do up on that stuff one time and be close to the one that you like this to have so you get strength to come over. So what do you need to do if you want to
go? Go to the back of the line.
Be low.
Be low. If you want grace, then you're going to be low. He gives grace to the humble. I ask my children to obey me. They've got the toys on the floor, and they're there, and I say, put your toys away. What must they do to obey? What must they do? Humble themselves to do what I say. Right? What does God say he'll do to my children? According to this verse, the humble themselves.
Bless them.
What? According to this verse? Grace.
Grace.
He's going to give them grace. So my children put their clothes away and they walk upstairs with grace. Because they obey him, God said, I'll give grace. And they will still obey me, they have to humble themselves. A lot of wives have got a lot of grace. Some husbands have need some. Okay?
So,
if your child obeys, because now my child goes to school, and the teacher lashed my child, and my child pours out my grace. When my children graduated from school, the principal came and said,
What did the teacher do to the child?
Blasted my child.
Blasted.
And again and again, we prayed for the teacher. Not teacher, Miss Mark School. Overlay. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's not just a text on version.
Second Timothy 3:12.
Okay, 2 Timothy 3:12. So all of the God's a promise. So if you want to have a little persecution, then righteous.
Now this is what we're talking about here. When you do what we say here, your persecution will come. But you'll be ready for it. So I do this.
Right.
Oh, hold it here. This is the key one. Okay.
Okay, I pick a verse to obey that has to do with my problems. If I got anger, I pick a verse on anger. If I got pride, I pick a verse on pride. So whatever you have there,
you pick a verse on it.
Oh, I wonder what I did again.
One fell on the floor. Is that the one you looked at?
No. Now here we're okay. We're back to this one now. We're okay. We're back to memorizing the verse. We got now we can write again. You need more paper. Box this and hang on yourself and pass it. Ooh, I keep them out of there.
They'll be tough coming.
So I memorized the command of purpose to obey. Remember Jesus in the garden? Jesus, he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Remember that? What did the devil come to do? And so what did Jesus do?
Quoted God.
He quoted, first of all, he quoted Deuteronomy 8, didn't he? Deuteronomy 8, 1 to 4. He quoted, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. Did you have a verse ahead of time?
Deuteronomy 8,
Get a verse ahead of time.
So Jesus did this. Jesus memorized a verse ahead of time for the temptation that was going to come. You already know the problem that you've got. You've written it down on the paper. Get a verse on it now. So you have the verse ahead of time. Am I making sense? So you got the verse ahead of time. So when the test comes, God can bring this verse to your memory. Now, if you're not willing to memorize the verse, forget it. Memorizing the verse is going to be the easy part of this test. I'm not kidding you. I mean, memorizing a verse. I mean, you can memorize a verse in 15 minutes. Yeah, IQ of a Devin Minow. But as you memorize the verse, and you review it, now you've got something for God to bring back to your mind about what you're working on. And if you're not willing to do that, you're not serious about it. You can't be serious about your problem. If you're not willing to memorize a verse, give me a break. Really. I have to watch it, because I'm just about to the point where I'm coming from.
Oh, you made it already.
Did I?
You did.
Okay.
You did.
I apologize.
We'll talk about some other time.
Okay. See, when I went to Australia, I purposed not to speak to you. For the very reason. I tried to speak once a year. I had to. I wouldn't have to. My dad had me hoeing corn, half mile row, at age 4 years old, for a penny a row. I talk to people about it.
Burns me up. I can't help but take it.
Okay, watch and pray, lest any temptation. The spirit is ready, but the flesh is weak. Boy, that's right. I watch and pray that I won't enter into temptation. Now this is the key. We still have that one? You have that one on your sheet, petition ahead of time?
No, watch and pray.
Okay, that's okay. See, now a petition ahead of time, what I do is, this is 1 Corinthians 10:13. Has anybody memorized that verse? Okay, now this is putting the verse into action. So what I do is I pray that God will make a way out by bringing the verse that I've memorized to my memory when I'm tempted, so that I can say no to sin and yes to God. Now, does that make sense?
Yes.
So I've got this verse memorized, and as I have the verse memorized, I ask God, Lord, I want a way out. And I memorize this verse. Would you please bring it to my memory when the test comes? Like you did with Jesus. Think you'll do it?
I think you'll do it.
Somebody says, Jesus never had a divorce.
How could he counsel on divorces?
You never had children.
He didn't. How can you counsel somebody with children?
The problem is divorce. The problem isn't children. The problem is relationships. Jesus had a lot of relationships.
He was tempted in the relationships, just like you and I are tempted in relationships.
He had dignity, you know, and he was obedient. You want to be obedient?
You see, Jesus, as our high priest, he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And he was there, and he knows how. So I can petition, and I can pray for God to help me. When I first became a Christian, I would pray. I prayed once to become a Christian. And after that, as I would pray with somebody, I would just moan. I couldn't even pray. I'd kneel down and say, God, I just moan. And the guy said, Father, you should pray to God. I said, I can't. He's holy. I'm not. How can I talk to God? Who am I to talk to God? Son. I said, well, yeah, look at what I am. And I signed my letter. It's a pile of dust. That's why I signed my letter. And he gave me this verse. And he gave me the next verse. Look what this verse says. What did that verse say for me to do? I took that verse back. And I went back to my shift. I prayed over that verse. I prayed over that verse. I said, God, I'll try it. That's it.
We don't do that in our own strength, though. We have to do it in the strength of the Lord.
No, that's true. Okay, and another shot. Now you ask others to watch and pray. I was going to Germany. I thought, well, I'd better get people to pray for me. So I went to the old folks' home. Now there's a lot of people in the old folks' home. They can pray for me, and they don't have anything else to do. Well, I went there and I found out something new. They wanted my children to stay and sing, and they wanted me to stay and talk with them. I was going overseas. So I went to church. I'll go to the prayer meeting and ask them to pray. I don't know if it's a bad night or not, but I was the only one. So I thought, I better not ask them to pray. I'm glad I didn't ask them Sunday morning, because I wouldn't have known. But I found some people that would pray. Pray for me and pray for me. He said, I'll pray for you hardly, you'll be enthusiastic. He died. I thought, oh. And his son wrote me, he said, I'm taking where my dad left off.
Pray for it.
He kept. Yeah. So get some. Put down on your list who you're going to ask to pray. Who you're going to have pray for you. Ask others to exhort ahead of time and encourage you. Get somebody you trust, you know. Ask them to help you with this sin, this problem. Put their name down there on your list. And who are you going to ask to get to help you with this problem? Who are you going to ask? And that cares for you. I got people that pray for me every day. And I need it.
Missionaries need that, don't they?
Yep. I've been there. I'm sure, sure it's true. Yep. Exhort one another daily. It's the same idea, asking others. It's the other half of that. Now here's where it gets into action. Have you got that on your sheet?
No.
It's in parentheses. Okay. So when I'm tempted, I say, notice then and yes to God when the verse comes. And then someone mentioned here, over here somewhere, let not sin reign in your mortal body, use your babe and lust thereof. See, and then someone mentioned that neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves, unto God, as those that are alive from the dead. So now I'm yielding to God in this situation. The test is there. The verses come to mind. As the verses come to mind, I've got the verse there. And just like Jesus quoted the verse, and he didn't yield to the temptation. He didn't make the stone bread. He didn't yield to the temptation. He said no to sin and yes to God. And that's what this is talking about. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive. Now that is terrific, isn't it? I can do that. Okay, action. Do works worthy of repentance by replacing obedience or disobedience with obedience. Okay? Paul is giving his testimony here, and he's talking, and he said, I showed them first at Damascus, and then at Jerusalem, and out to the coast of Judea, and throughout all the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works worthy of repentance. So, would you might say what you put down for your sin?
Lust.
Okay? How much would it be worth for you now, not for them? Quite a bit, right? Okay, well, now this says, Paul said, what you should do now is you should repent, turn to God, and then do works worthy of not lusting. There wouldn't be any more widows with snow on your sidewalk. I'm working on that one. How much is it worth to you not to do what you listed now?
Lust.
Right. Yeah. So you list that down. Now see, how much is it worth to me that I'm not going to do that? And then figure out what that is, and whatever that work is, get it ahead of time. Get that work ahead of time, so you've got that work ready, so when you don't sin like Jesus didn't do when he did. Jesus, I always do the things that please the Father. Jesus always was doing good works. He was always doing good works. He wasn't sinning. I mean, there shouldn't be any cups on the table out there that are empty that need to be tossed in the trash can for not sinning. We look for something to do. I'm going to serve. I'm going to do something to serve. I'm going to be serving all the time because I've not sinned. I was sneaking up on the lady, the man down two doors down from me, and he died. I was sneaking up on him. He died. I'm going to die. I didn't get to sin. Now the widow down there. So every time it snowed this year when I was home, I scooped for cycling. I had to get her sidewalk. I had a neighbor's sidewalk. So I did his sidewalk. Now, it wouldn't be right to do theirs on that side without doing the others on the other side. So I did the other side. Right? Yeah. But it wasn't hard. The Bible doesn't say too many verses on getting more sleep. Got a lot of them. So you figure out your work ahead of time and you do it. You do a work worthy of repentance. Figure out your work. Plan it ahead of time and get your good work ready. Get that work there. So as soon as you don't sin, do your work. One of the guys says, I'm getting up in bed at night. I'm not doing my sin. I get out of bed to do my good work. I said, you have hope.
If you're not willing to get out of bed at night and you don't do your sin, to do your good work, you may not make it. You may not be that serious about it.
Okay? Now, there's a question about, boy, this isn't going to go.
Upside down.
It's a grid.
It's good. It's good.
Put it right side up. There you go.
No,
get it right there.
Boy, this is. Now, this is after you work on this a little bit. I'll read this here. This is escape from the bondage to bitterness. Any of you ever had bondage to bitterness? You're bitter? Okay. So you say, okay, I'm not going to get bitter. So you memorize your verses on bitter, and then you're not going to get bitter. So you say, what good works will I do not to be bitter? I've not been bitter, I'm going to do good works. So now, here it is. We looked up the good verses on not being bitter, and it works worthy of repentance from bitterness. And it talks about bitterness, and these verses talk about don't being bitter, and they say, don't be bitter, do this. So here is love. Here is being kind. Here is being tender and compassionate. Here is being forgiving. Here is being of a humble mind. Here is being peaceful. Here is being thankful. Here is being holy. Here is being truthful. Now those are good works that I can do so that I don't get bitter. Or if I'm not bitter, then I do the good works. So I do these good works instead of being bitter. So I have these good works that I can do, so now I'm not bitter. I pray about being bitter, and I didn't want to be bitter because the Lord. And I memorized the verse in Hebrews 12 on bitterness. And boy, the Lord brought to my mind, and I wasn't bitter. Oh, boy, I wasn't bitter. As soon as I wasn't bitter, I pick one of those. Okay, I'm going to be peaceful. And so I'm going to be peaceful with somebody. And I pick that out, and I'm going to be peaceful. So I'm peaceful. And I'm peaceful. So I do the good work. And that's what Paul said when he said in Acts 26, 20, do good works. After you repent, do a good work, worthy of repentance. See, now it'll take you a minute. If you really get on to this, you have to do your own homework. I just can't do it all for you. Okay? Now, what this comes. Now, start to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4 says, Paul says, I've learned how to abound and I learned how to be abased. It was a learning process. It wasn't, didn't happen. It was a learning process. It took time. It was a learning process. This one. See, the joy of the Lord is your strength. As you're victorious, you have joy. And you're strong, strong, strong. Oh, man, we're going to make it. The statutes of the light, you know Psalms 19. If you want something to do in your spare time, memorize Psalms 19. Psalms 19 is like you put the Word of God through a prism, and it says all of the different aspects of the Word of God. And this is one of the aspects of the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Now, if you do what I'm talking about, if you do this, you will have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh. Okay, I think we're. Yeah, we got one more on rejoicing. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I'll praise Him. Now, if you've done this, if you've understood what I've talked about, you know how to sing. You'll have a song. You'll have a song. I played the violin from the 3rd year through the 11th grade. My sister graduated. I didn't have anyone between me. That's true. So when I sing, I'm not on tune. Even in my heart, I am. And I lead singing, and I come down like this, and I don't say anything because I don't want to get them off. When somebody starts singing, we're away. They don't even know it. I was leading over in Saigon, someplace I was leading singing, and a guy came up who was a missionary, and he said, "Would you teach me how to sing?" He said, "Well, you're flipping from another hand."
Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. So when you're obeying the word of God, you're feasting on it. In John 4, the disciples went in, and they got the food, and they came back after they got the food, and they came back to Jesus. Remember what they asked him? Somebody give you something to eat? And Jesus said, my people is to do the will of him and sent me. The Lord said, I've been feasting. I'm doing twins. I'm on the manna of a plentiful supply. He's eating the word. We'll do this one. You got it. I saw one person leave. He regretted it. Jeremiah 15:16, and then see, this is my life.
Okay, we've got to quit.
That looks like
five minutes.
What I've done is I've how many people here are in the King James? Just stand up, okay? Okay.
Thank you very much.
That's right.
Thank you very much.
King James?
All right.
King James?
That's great, thank you.
Anybody else can James, is okay?
Not me.
Not me. NASB?
Oh. American
Standard?
That's what it is. You gotta be in something, Don.
I need American Indian, right? I got some more. It says there on your NASB, where we go? Where we go? And this is still NASB. It says B, it's B, okay? I'm sorry.
This is a gracious gift.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yes. Here we
go.
Someone else? Oh, God, sorry. Another one? Another one?
Yeah.
Okay, anybody else with NASB? It's got an NASB on it. Computer.
I didn't do it. I can't turn them on.
Okay.
What's this one?
RSD?
Oh, it died.
Oh, here's one. RSD? NIV.
NIV. I don't want
to end these books. Let those up.
Thanks.
Good catch. Yes, these are the verses with the titles and all that you were trying right now.
29
of them. Okay, does everybody have one?
Yes.
What color? Blue or blue? Blue or blue?
Okay. You people have been very kind.
Thank you.
I work on the verses and give them a try and work with somebody to do better than I did. We'll give thanks, okay?
Yeah.
Father, we are very grateful for your love to us in Christ.
And we will understand better than why. And Lord, we thank you for the strength you give in the resurrection power of Jesus. You told the Ephesians, and you prayed for them that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would know what is the hope of their calling, and what is the exceeding grace of your riches to them in Christ Jesus, what the power of the resurrection was in their life. Lord, we want to know that in our lives. Father, we thank you for this time. And I thank you for these dear people who've come from many places wanting to know you better. And Lord, we want to represent you right. We pray that each of us here would receive the word with our eyes and mind, that search the scriptures daily with the sense of soul. And we'd be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.